From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, August 6th. I'm Jonathan Aull, in for Abby Lirico. More than 41,000 Missourians on probation or parole will have their voting rights restored this month. Advocates say the new law is a win, but should do even more.
When people show up at your office for that visit after they've gotten out of jail or prison and they're signing paperwork, included in that information could be something that says you have the right to vote.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke to Inez Bordeaux about why voting is so important for formerly incarcerated people. That's coming up on The Gateway. The Missouri Health Department has confirmed federal officials are now investigating the state as part of the nationwide cyclosporiasis outbreak. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has not yet publicly announced the change.
A spokeswoman for the Department of Health and Senior Services says officials have expected Missouri would be added to the outbreak for weeks. Health workers have reported more than 1,000 cases of the infection in the state so far this year. Cyclosporiasis is caused by eating produce contaminated with a microscopic parasite found in human feces. Since May, the CDC has reported more than 10,000 lab-confirmed cases of cyclosporiasis nationwide. The Washington Post first reported Tuesday Missouri was among six additional states CDC has added to the outbreak. Publicly, the agency has only acknowledged nine states, including Illinois, are part of the national outbreak. Per the agency, nearly all U.S. states have reported some cases. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
A state investigation found two former Webster Groves employees used city credit cards for more than $4,000 in improper personal purchases. Missouri Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick released the report yesterday, saying the city had weak oversight of purchasing cards. The report says two employees used credit cards at a marijuana dispensary, a strip club, and an Airbnb rental. Webster Groves officials say the misuse was discovered internally and that both employees are no longer with the city. Fitzpatrick says one employee still owed the city about $100 at the time of the report. However, Webster Groves officials say all improper charges have been repaid and new safeguards are in place to prevent future misuse. The group seeking to prompt a statewide vote over a congressional map lawmakers drew in 2025 is suing to get its referendum to voters. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on why the result of this lawsuit could prompt new primary elections.
Secretary of State Denny Hoskins rejected People Not Politicians' push to place a map aimed at ousting Democrat Emanuel Cleaver up for a November 2026 vote. The group filed a lawsuit shortly after Hoskins' decision. If courts reverse Hoskins, People Not Politicians' executive director Richard Von Glahn says the redistricting plan never went into effect, and it's possible Tuesday's congressional primaries were run on an invalid map.
We asked him for resolution, and he refused to do it. So the responsibility of that lays at his feet and his feet alone.
The courts are expected to decide the case by early September. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County Executive Sam Page says he was not surprised a proposed tax on online sales failed at the ballot box on Tuesday. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman explains why.
Proposition U received just 35% of the vote, well below the simple majority needed. It could have given St. Louis County some breathing room as it tries to address a structural budget deficit that will be at least $50 million next year. While the council agreed to put the issue on the ballot, Page says they did not do enough to explain the need for additional revenue.
This is a real communication gap that we have here. It's going to be crystal clear that our choice is cutting police services and laying off county employees and police officers or finding a new source of revenue.
Page hopes the council places the tax on the ballot for a third time in November and commits resources to an educational campaign. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Page has always had a very contentious relationship with the St. Louis County Council. One of the people running to succeed him hopes to change that dynamic. Democratic nominee Jake Zimmerman says that for him, it's about more than policy positions.
Rule number one right now for me is to lead by example, to listen before speaking, and to try really hard not to be a jerk.
Zimmerman will face current Republican County Council member Dennis Hancock in the November election. Zimmerman was a guest on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. Longtime St. Charles County executive Steve Ellman says he's looking forward to continuing his work to help St. Charles County grow. Ellman won a competitive Republican primary over two challengers on Tuesday. He says many people think the county executive has more power than it actually does.
You're county executive, you're not dictator. As county executive, I can't get anything done without at least four of the seven people on the county council wanting to go along with me.
Ellman was also a guest on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. He will face Democratic nominee David Veneziano in the November election. According to a recent report, more than 41,000 formerly incarcerated people on probation and parole will have their vote restored beginning August 28th, thanks to a new Missouri law. Inez Bordeaux, an advocate for the disenfranchised, spoke with St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson about why this law is essential to thousands of St. Louisans.
When you think about the issues that so many people who are returning home, who are supposed to be reintegrated back into society, one of the reasons voting is so important for those people is because it is a means of advocacy. They can not only go out and advocate for the things that are important to them, they can organize around how do we make it easier for people who have records to get jobs, to get housing and access to resources. And then they can go out and vote for the actual people that have the power to make those changes.
For the people who do not know you, tell us a little bit about why you are passionate about just advocating for formerly incarcerated people.
I have spent a little bit of time in jail. In 2012, I was charged with a felony. And in 2016, the Missouri Supreme Court basically came out and said that the statute that I was prosecuted under was unconstitutional. And I should have never been charged with a felony. I instead should have been charged with a misdemeanor, which would have at most resulted in 2 years of probation. By the time I went to court in 2017 to stand in front of a judge about whether or not my sentence could be vacated, I had already been on probation for 6 years. So I know exactly what it feels like to not have a voice when it's time to vote.
So do you feel like this is a big win?
It's a huge win for people who, you know, have something on their record, because the issues that they are dealing with, those issues need to be addressed. And who better to do that than the people who are literally dealing with the issue?
Do you have any specific plans now that you know that we do have this law on the books?
Yeah, when we're out canvassing, I always go and knock on the door and I'm like, according to my records, you're not registered to vote. Can I give you the website or give you voter registration card? But you know what would be more effective? When people show up at your office for that visit after they've gotten out of jail or prison and they're signing all of the paperwork, included in that information could just be something that says, now that you are out of jail and prison and you are on probation and parole, did you know that you have the right to vote? Here is a voter registration card.
Do you consider that a gap that still exists?
I consider it intentional. Yes, this legislation passed. Shout out to the lawmakers. It's going to have an impact on many people's lives if they know about it. So the fact that the Department of Probation and Parole with this new law, the fact that the governor's office with this new law has not mandated, hey, the Department of Probation and Parole should be queuing up a Word document that says, hey, by the way, you have the right to vote. This is how you do it.
What are your hopes for St. Louis now that those thousands of folks will be able to have their voting rights back?
I know we're talking about people coming out of jail and prison, but all of us, everybody, like, what efforts are you making to get folks civically engaged in the process? I think the city would be in a much better place if we listened more to the folks that are considered the least of us.
That was Inez Bordeaux speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson. Brian Moline edited that story. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Jonathan Aull, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.